Hey, fellas. Listen to the sultry sound.
Yeah,
of
just a quick reminder for anyone who's still hanging on in this debacle. This is the meltdown component of the Pints and Pairings show. As we do frequently with a long broadcast like this, we just get the gang together and we rap about whatever happened during the evening or whatever alcohol-induced conversation lends itself to the table.
I drank beer.
That's pretty much what happened. You guys drank beer in here and we drank beer outside.
You had a table rocking out there. You had a great group of individuals.
We had Green Flash and the dudes. It was a nice like community of
And we were just talking about collaboration vendors. Opportunities on the segment with Toby and Ryan, and there they are out there wrapping it up with Green Flash.
Yep.
And for those who are listening right now, that yup came from Joby Yobi, owner of Barrelhouse 101, our host tonight in studios, the BH101 studios. But to your left, you have a special guest, someone close to your heart.
He's no stranger to the show.
He is no stranger.
He has been on before.
I've been on once or twice.
And especially since when Anastasia is here.
Curious.
He was on the Hangar 24 show, I believe.
He shows up frequently when either A, your desserts are here, or you happen to be at the mic.
Both.
Great. Yes. So this is George from Ojai Beverage Company.
Hey, everybody.
Great proprietor up in Ojai with a extensive, not only beer selection with numerous coolers, but great wine and spirits, too. So just a shameless plug for that one.
Thank you.
It's and not only that, but the beer's on tap. So the whole the cooler, the wall of beer with whatever there is, 1,000-some-odd beers, something like that. 389
right now.
Okay, so 990, but I'm not keeping track. And then beers on tap. What do you got? 30 beers?
20 right now.
Okay, so
that was our kitchen.
These cousins are rivals. However, Ojai is a special brand of people. And those
that's putting it very politely.
I'm not sure those people make it to Ventura very often.
No, they don't. But a lot of people go to Ojai.
I was gonna say, but the coastal areas, we love to go up there just for the artsy fartsy feel, the hippie granola kind of stuff.
And the triple digit summers.
Well, yeah, when
it's
we're
not that bad. Come on,
it is that bad.
June, occasionally,
103.
In June when it's 50 degrees and socked in on fog, and then we go up there because that's where we know we're going to get some sun. So,
hey, that little flash of light on your phone, Curtis. If that was your wife texting you to remind you that the broadcast is not that the broadcast is no longer going live and streaming, she might be right because we killed the BH101 guest internet. I don't know what happened. We brought it down.
I don't know.
Actually, you guys did because we have no music in the dining room. So,
something's up.
Something's going on.
However, that leads into
that makes perfect sense.
That was actually
talking to each other.
Well, they're still recording. talking to each other.
That was actually my ride, and we're driving.com, and that is exactly how I'm getting home tonight because I have had plenty of beer. I have not had enough to eat and or alternate beverages this evening to necessitate a ride home and go to weirddriving.com, W-E-R-E driving.com. And my personal driving service, whether I like to cover my eye, whether you've had eye surgery, been to the eye doctor, whatever it is, you got a grandmother who needs to go to the grocery store, they've got you covered. So get home.
Can they take you to work?
They will. And I'm guessing that if you've had a run-in with alcohol and driving, that they would be happy to come and get you every single morning and drive you to work.
Luckily, I have not. But if you were to have that.
If that happened to happen.
If you need to blow into your car to make a start, they'll help you out.
And that is exactly why I use them. So I can circumnavigate that aspect, I guess.
So I want to raise a couple of topics just for the meltdown. I think we should have a little bit of value. I recently joined a interesting group on LinkedIn, the craft brewing industry. It's an open group, and a lot of great industry professionals, largely focused on distribution and sales and the kind of commercial segment, not as much the consumer side. But there's a couple of interesting discussions going on right now, and two of them I want to raise for you, Joby, because I know you'll have an opinion and Stash can jump into. One of them is in regards to beer apps.
Yes.
Because you have a Barrelhouse 101 app.
Yes.
But Stas, the other one that we'll get into as soon as he gives his thoughts on marketing through a beer app is the use of spent grains and kind of a food aspect of post-brewing.
There's a big controversy right now with the FDA.
So, Stash, apparently you're on the forefront then. Tell us about the controversy, Joby.
Well, from what little I've read is the FDA is going to start dictating what you can do with spent grain, and that's the little I know, something like that.
Yeah, I probably know less than you do, actually.
Yeah, but that's the general gist, and I know all the breweries are in uproar because they do a lot of stuff with spent grain, one of which is to give it to livestock so they refeed them. It's kind of like a full circle. Like Sierra Nevada is great about that.
Huge.
Yeah, it's a big recycling aspect. And when we talk about kind of a hipster culture or a return to
granola.
Yeah, granola and, you know, the same philosophy of people using all of an animal. If you want to use all the ingredients you can and really close that circle of sustainability, breads and desserts and incorporation into recipes is a thing that people are trying to leverage spent grains for. I would be curious to understand why the FDA would want to regulate spent grains, though. Is there concern about residual alcohol left over?
I don't know. I haven't read enough. To be honest, I haven't read enough about it to be informed on that. But if I had to assume, it would have something to do with alcohol, perhaps bacteria.
I think bacteria would be a good thing because it festers fast.
It does. I mean, we've played around with having a bucket of it, and you can see it like kind of.
And I've tried to use some spent grains. I actually made an interesting granola at home one time with figs and pumpkin seeds and that. But it's definitely, it takes a creative mind to use spent grains. Carrie Drake, one of the members of this group, left an interesting comment too. He's a senior account representative at Complete Wireless Technologies, just to give him his plug for his comments. He's saying there's a lot of lobbying right now by large livestock feed producers like Purina. Because it's cutting into their sales. So leveraging spent grains as a feed for livestock is actually cutting into the big boys' livelihood, which is something I wouldn't have thought. You know, it seems to me there'd be a partnership opportunity there.
Because it's all about money, and it's about who has the influence. And if you can squeeze out people who are buying grain for pennies on the dollar as opposed to buying big brand Purina food, you know, just to use that as the brand name, you know,
it's not even buying. Sometimes it's free.
Well, no, exactly. And if you had that, I guess if you had that connection, then that would be great. You know, some of these big companies, though, like Budweiser and some of these other ones, I've read that they're selling the spent grain to dairies and other places. And so if you can, you know, I'm guessing that they're getting it from all over the place. A Budweiser would be able to pay for that production, whereas an Anacapa or a Surf, you know, fine, we're just going to put this in the landfill.
Or, the compost. And a lot of green-focused breweries, like New Belgium's a great example. They try to close that loop, too. They're working with local farmers to try to, you know, really pitch out that spent grain wherever possible. Let's talk about the apps, though, Joby, because we've been getting a lot of great notifications for this show, but also for the specials and the flight nights through the Barrelhouse 101 app. With that technology being a leading communication tool, have you seen an uptick in either exposure for the Barrelhouse 101 brand or for information and feedback from your consumers by using the app?
Yeah, well, the thing about the app is that it's people who are downloading it or people that have been here and that want more information and want to stay. They want the fastest, they want the closest link to the information, you know, because before it was like, okay, it would be Facebook or it would be Twitter or Instagram, and now it's like, hey, do you want to know first? You're going to get the app.
It's like a direct pipeline.
It's a direct pipeline, and it's also advertising to people who have been here, so that's kind of the major difference between, you know, something that we're running an ad or we're fishing out there for someone who's never been here. This is advertising to someone who's been here, which is the same as Facebook and some of those. And the thing about Facebook is maybe they've never been here. And the app is putting the information in their hands before they get here.
Sure.
And so they've been here before. And then there's also a loyalty program built in. But the biggest thing is to let people know what's on tap before they get here. People want to pick and choose what they want to drink before they got here. And then it also has a menu on there. And then it rewards them for coming in multiple times.
It gives
times.
Them a little bit of clout, too, because they can tell their friends, they've had X, Y, and Z, and they already know that based on what's available through the app.
Right.
But kind of bridging the two stories and philosophies with the spent grain topic and now the app, though, would you see Barrelhouse 101 maybe moving in a direction that would start pitching more information about the industry as a whole through the app? Would you be potentially pushing out news stories through your app as a almost an industry expert, saying, hey, Barrel House 101 is on top of what's going on right now in the craft brewing industry?
Maybe not so much through the app, but we definitely try to do that through, like, our Facebook page.
Sure, but maybe not through the foundation of what the app is designed
to
do.
No, I think the foundation of the app would be just to get the information about our place into your hands. But I understand what you're saying, and I think there is a need for that information, and we definitely want, you know, our guests to be informed. And that's what we like things like links on Facebook and getting that info about, hey, this is what's going on in our industry. But, you know, we walk a line because we're sort of the end user. We sell everybody's beer. So it's kind of like definitely things that happen affect us, but it's not always – at the end, it does affect the consumer, and that's the guest.
Well, that's a great segue, though. I mean, we've got George here. Your operation is more retail-driven. Obviously, you have your tasting room. You do food service. But the vast, especially visual component of your location is retail. Would you think of maybe moving to a platform that would allow you to push out what your brands are doing, what's hot and new for the brands that you're carrying on the shelves? Is that a communication tool that you think your market and your consumer would gravitate towards?
Possibly. You know, there's always something newer, something bigger and better coming out, and there's always newspaper clippings. New York Times, for the example, is probably the number one magazine people bring to me as a reference, whether it's an app or the actual clippings, of what's new out there, what's hip, what's...
Granola's reading the New York Times.
Hey.
It's exactly that.
Ironically.
It really is.
I'm just teasing Ojai.
I've thought about it. I've thought about trying to keep up with all the new hip things, and it seems like people still always go back to the old faithfuls, and that's what we have on the shelves. And people don't always want to know what's new and hip. Sometimes they're just content.
I can appreciate that.
You know, but I understand what you're saying at the same time, to be informed of all the new things coming out.
When you've got such a vast selection, especially on the spirits side, I mean, we've got two new distilleries coming in our area within the next few months who are really building up their brands. Getting that word out, if I were a small distillery or brand new craft brewery, knowing the exposure and the saturation you have in your market, I'd be looking to you to help build my brand. I'd say, hey, George, how can you help me get my name out there? And it just seems like a natural progression to move into a tool that helps push that information quickly and efficiently.
I think having these tastings like you guys at the Dudes tonight, a lot of people probably didn't even recognize who the Dudes were or what brewery they came from or any of the information whatsoever, but you get a taster in front of you. And I think nothing advertises a brewery or distillery or a winery better than the one-on-one experience, because I can tell you something tastes phenomenal, but until you actually get it into your palate,
it's true.
Really, it could be a relative term, and you could say, well, it's okay. And I've tried some of the spirits from who you're referring to, and I think they're amazing. And I could try to sell it to you, but until I have that tasting, I think that's the best method, in my personal opinion.
No, that makes sense.
How to present something new to somebody.
Now, one of the distilleries I was referencing is the Channel Islands Distillery, which is coming over right here in Ventura on Olive. They had referenced, either through their Facebook page or through their website, the article about California legislation opening up the opportunity for spirits to have a tasting room.
Right.
Now, as a multi-adult beverage retailer that you are, George, how does that affect you? Are you able to leverage some of that legislature in your favor to get people into a tasting scenario and try new things from your shelf?
I'm actually all for legislation to pass that through. I think the more exposure for a product, I think, is better for a product, and therefore people might not be able to make it to that particular tasting room, but they will refer to me, or they will hear something about it or taste it somewhere, and they still come back to me. So the more exposure, the better. I don't know how much my word or our establishment could really take it to, but I think it's just the word of all the people that really going to get pushed that through.
Well, we're sort of at an advantage, though. We don't have to worry about that legislation. Right. We have the licenses that let us taste people already. So that thing, that legislation you're talking about, is something that what's his name? Steve from Ascendant and oh my goodness,
Alex
Ventura Limoncello. These guys are all pushing for
James
because
Carling.
the wineries and the breweries, they open up, and part of their license allows them to taste, and the spirits have never gotten to. So that's the major legislation there, was like, hey, we should be in the same group as those guys.
They don't want to feel like a stepchild. And yeah, I can appreciate that, because like you said, once people taste the product, wineries have been doing it, breweries have been doing it, and once someone is able to experience firsthand, especially in an environment where they're able to talk directly with an owner or the person who's making the product, that just really solidifies whether or not they're going to like it or they even have an appreciation for it. Maybe it's something that they don't have an affinity for, but they can appreciate the process. My mom is a perfect example where she really doesn't like wine, but we took her through Four Bricks Winery here in Ventura, and we've taken her to a couple other wineries where she got the behind-the-scenes look. She's like, you know, it's still not my thing, but I have respect for the people that are making it. Kind of like in Zoolander, he's like, hey, you know, I don't really listen to his music, but I respect that he's doing it.
You know, it's funny you say that. I was like that when they came to Sierra Nevada. I was always a fan of their beers, and you know, a bit of appreciation. But until Joey and I did the boot camp, the beer camp there, I had a whole newfound appreciation. And I believe that camp was in 2008, 2009, something. Yeah. But I can remember like it was yesterday. And you know, I repeat everything that I learned on that camp back to every single soul that I meet about Sierra Nevada, and I have found them to be on a whole nother scale for me on their infrastructure and the styles of beer that they make. So from personal experience, I think that one-on-one with a brewery or distillery or winery really does take it to a whole nother level.
Excellent. So. See, Curtis, we thought tonight was going to be like a debacle of a meltdown and that we had too much beer.
That was way too deep, man.
It was deep, but you know what? The theme of tonight's meltdown show is all about information, and Pints and Pairings is trying to bring it to you.
Way too deep.
I think.
I think
we need to.
We're gonna leave it up to her.
The next time the theme of the meltdown is like set, I think I should be able to have some input into the theme of the meltdown.
Because I was ready to
do a full blown meltdown, and
I think that totally wraps up the meltdown then. Based on the fact that you're a little disgruntled.
You still have three full sampers in front of you, by the way.
Technically,
and
these
has nothing. He's
technically, these are a shared sampler. We are supposed to be consuming these equally.
I think I've had all of those right there actually, and then I had a full pint of one of them, so I'm in good shape. I'm all right. Really, I am. So anyway, let's call this one.
I'm glad this one wasn't live broadcast.
Let's
just recorded.
Let's call this one good, because I'm gonna put in a bunch of like morning zoo horns and blower things on this one the whole time. just to say, yeah, we were just kidding about that, all that stuff.
All that deep stuff. Man, he got way deep.
Yeah. I know. He hasn't been drinking tonight. I don't know what the hell's going on.
He has been drinking.
Maybe that's what it is.
My political side's coming out.
Like, man, I love you, and let me tell you about my passions about beer.
On that note,
let's call it good. I am Curtis Taylor. And you know who I am. And
your hop headset.
Where I'm at.
And I'm Jason Hendrick from Everybody's Hungry. And we want to thank everyone who's been listening tonight to Pints and Pairings. We've been going from, well, we had some technical defaults.
1 to 2 to 3.
Yeah, we had a little trouble at the very beginning. But we've been broadcasting since 7 p.m. Pacific time. So the fact that we're still going with our friends Joby, George, and Stash.
You know, we're looking
Stash.
At three and a half
Stash.
Hours.
No.
Stash.
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 No.
Stash.
No.
Officially
changed
it to Stash.
Thank you. It is Stash.
I prefer Anastasia.
Since when did you have such level of sophistication, Joby?
Stash is like mustache.
Stash is the name of the guy in Orange is the New Black.
That's like some guy that's on Old School or something. Like,
yeah, like mustache, not
El Stash.
Not
we'll fight it out later. We'll fight it out later.
Right. See, now this is a meltdown right here.
Come on. Lumberjack Stash look going, so it could be Stash.
I subconsciously promised you that we would create a morning zoo atmosphere before we closed out.
There it is. The transplant from Santa Cruz is cold in Ventura.
I know.
It is, yes.
I've been calling her Paula Bunyanette all night.
There it is.
I know, nice, huh?
You gotta work on the nicknames.
It was bad. It was off the cuff.
Stash and Paula Bunyanette.
Stash was actually didn't make that up.
I know.
I wasn't the first one to come up with stats. We're out of here.
Hey, do it, Curtis. Let's do it. I am out of here. See you all later.
See you the
Jason,
next one.
We'll catch you later.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers.